B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kyle, have you guys finalized whatever the sound situation inside Levi's is going to be for Sunday?
And, yeah, it's more of a, I think it's a consensus for the whole league. I believe it's 70 to 75. So we're going to decide on those two. We'll keep it a secret for some reason so they don't play with the right decibels the whole week. But we'll see if that's an advantage for us. We'll surprise them on Sunday.
There was a video clip of you calling it human torture. Just how much of an adjustment period is that for even the coaching staff, just procedurally?
I think it'll be a huge adjustment for everyone out there. You don't realize just what constant noise is like. It's not about being loud or too low. It's about just constant. I mean, usually when the plays start, you get to hear the pop and you get to hear football. When things aren't going on, you can have conversations with people and stuff. So just the constant noise is a little tough to deal with, but the fans won't be having to deal with it. That'll just be us. So hopefully we can make sure that doesn't affect our game, which it shouldn't. It's more about just irritation of it, and then you embrace it and realize that that can't affect you unless you let it affect you, and you just go back to playing football.
So that's Kyle Shanahan, coach of the 49ers. I just found that an interesting quote. So in the stadium, they're going to play fake crowd noise at 70 to 75 decibels, but I didn't even realize this. I didn't pick up on this part of the quote until I was just listening to it. I assume by his answer, the home team gets to pick whether it's 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, and they get to hold that information until they play. And was Kyle kidding there that the opponent then has to prepare for 70 or 75? These NFL coaches, man. Why don't you worry about why don't you worry about your quarterback hitting a wide open Manny Sanders on a deep post in the Super Bowl than whether it's 74 or 72 decibels, you jackass.
Oh, it's asinine.
I was saying maybe there's a reason he's so nervous. Because that quarterback might get rattled by that din of crowd noise of a crowd that's not actually there. Oh God, I'm shook.
So I don't even know what 75 decibels is. I know they put that meter up in the garden. So I was just
fake.
I know. It's got to be fake, right? So I was just looking this up online. And according to just this quick search I did, takeoff and landing of an airplane are the loudest moments when noise levels inside the cabin can reach 105 decibels.
Inside the cabin?
That's what it says.
That's 105?
At cruising altitudes, noise drops to around 85.
Huh?
That's not that loud.
That's not that loud.
Okay, it says a Boeing 747 is 140 decibels at the round of takeoff, but that's a 747. So
normal conversation is about 60. A lawnmower is about 80.
Where do you get those numbers
90,
from?
I'm sorry.
Where do you get those numbers from?
Dennis, our head engineer, who's fixing our phone lines.
Who effed up our phones? This is the guy you're getting your information from?
Yeah, I trust Dennis.
Well, tell him these decibels are too low. So a lawnmower is 80? So that's what they're going to do? They're going to start
lawnmower's 90. I misspoke.
So you're going to start a bunch of lawnmowers in the stands and let them...
75, and it doesn't stop. So that, and he says...
That's annoying.
He says it's irritating. Which I can see, right? It's like, there's a lull, then a play happens, and there's a cheer. And there's a lull, and a play happens, and there's a boo. There's a lull, there's a play happen, there's a groan. Like, there's a up and down to it. Something's got to happen, then there's a reaction. This is just one constant,
See, now this I don't like.
That is that is irritating.
So, man. I told you.
Make it stop, man. Make it stop.
I want it on the broadcast. I'll take it on the broadcast.
Yeah, but they're doing it because that would be happening if the fans were actually there. So deal with it, you babies.
I know, but I'm okay with them.
How many decibels is that, Stu?
I'm just messing with the fader. Yeah, I can tell you.
Keep going.
I'm looking at a threshold of hearing chart, which apparently is what you would look at for this kind of thing. And so around 70 to 80 is a vacuum cleaner to a jackhammer at 50 feet. Something you can deal with. It's a bit annoying, but you would be dealing with that if you actually had fans in the stands.
A jackhammer at 50 feet?
Yeah.
For three straight hours?
Yeah, that'd be like if you had...
That's a little irritating.
Arrowhead or Seattle. The place is banged up with 85, 90,000 fans.
Well, it wouldn't bother me. I have an acute concentration level, so that wouldn't have any effect on me whatsoever. But the idea that they're piping it into the stadium, that, I don't know, kind of bugs me. I don't mind the music. Even in baseball, they're pumping in the music during big hits and stuff like that. But the crowd noise is only going to the people on TV, right?
Okay. No, it's going in the stadium. That's his point.
No. I'm talking about a baseball game.
Oh, I'm sorry. I started to read.
Yeah, it's all right. The idea that you would pump fake crowd noise into the stadium, that I don't like.
Maz, they are doing that in baseball.
No, yeah. I thought they're just playing music.
No. Oh, no. Where have you been? Don't you do a baseball show every night?
I thought they just pumped the crowd noises coming into
No, they did a whole thing about where Renicky said that, you know, that you don't want the opponent. We don't want the opponent hearing what we're saying to our guys on second base, and they don't want. No, that's in
I didn't know that.
Oh, that's in the stadium, and it was for
I don't like that either, then.
It's for competitive reasons because they don't want the opponent to hear what you're saying on the diamond. So they pump it up in the stadium.
No, I don't like that at all.
So that's what this is. And that's why it's like, I can see why it'd be a little irritating for those guys.
I thought that was just on the broadcast.
No, no. Wow. Okay, so this is your NFL preview stuff. All right, so are you as amped for this season as you normally would be? Or are you less for some reason? I'll tell you, I miss the ramp up. I need the ramp up. I'm still going to watch, you know, with my pants off. Like, believe me, I'm excited to watch Cam Newton and the Patriots and Tom Brady and the Bucks on Sunday.
Yeah, it's enough to make me feel like, because I had this conversation with my wife. She's like, football starts this week. I'm like, yeah. She goes, you sure? I'm like, yeah. No, it is. It's like, it doesn't feel right.
I don't feel right that I haven't had a few college games to ignore, but at least they're there. And there's just the feel of football is coming, and I don't have it. It's like a frying pan over the forehead. Here's football. And I feel that a little bit. I wish we had some preseason and some ramp up. What do you think these games are going to be like without fans? Give me a ratings prediction. Pats Fins at 1, Bucks Saints at 4, Brady at 4. Is Brady going to outdraw the Patriots?
No.
Wouldn't that be awesome if he did?
It would be awesome, but it's not going
to
happen.
Talk about sending a shot over the bow over there to Foxborough and Gillette. Oh my God! Would that go right up the Kraft's tailpipe?
I mean, that would be like would that be borderline unprecedented?
Yeah, I couldn't think.
Well,
of that.
I mean, we have to go back to the old days where the Giants used to outdraw the Patriots here. Like you'd be going back that far.
Wow, what a kick in the nuts that'd be!
Because you guys were working beats and whatever. Did the Bork Avs outdraw
no,
the Bruins
no,
at that time?
No.
Okay. Can't
no,
imagine
sir.
They did.
No, sir. Are the Chiefs tonight? Chiefs the next team? They're the team of the decade.
Potentially.
Potentially. Are they?
I think something's going to go wrong.
Sorry to dump on you, Murray, but of course, potentially they are. But
no, something's...
To be a team of the decade, to start to sniff the Patriots, you have to have more than just talent or a quarterback.
Right.
There's got to be a program and discipline. And I feel like the Chiefs are going to come back to earth this year because they're just so undisciplined and they bring in so many jamokes. There's so many wild cards on that team. Mahomes isn't one of them. You know, he's legit competitor.
I mean, that Super Bowl
adult.
Was more about the Niners losing it than it was the Chiefs winning it, I feel like.
But, I mean, is Tyreek Hill going to make it through a whole – I mean, there's just too many guys like that. The Chiefs, I don't know. I don't think they will be. I think Mahomes will be. But the whole team, they're winning 3-4, whatever, team of the decade, I don't see it.
I'd worry about them more on the other side of the ball. I just think because of the quarterback and the coach, their offense is going to be dynamite. They're always going to score. But they could very easily be the Rams, with Kurt Warner and Mike Martz. And, they have their flash and that's it.
And don't forget, he had a knee injury last year that he miraculously came back from. If something like that went wrong again with him, poof, his career's done. I just, with the way that he plays, and he's a joy to watch, I just don't know if longevity is in his future in the NFL.
Okay, here's one more that Murray's worried about. First week in November, Murray, what are you worried about?
I am completely honest about this. I have told many people about this in my personal life. My big fear for the NFL is that when I think that Trump wins re-election, and because we're living in the darkest timeline and everyone's irrational, everyone loses their mind, and then week 9, that following Sunday, the players walk out, and that's the end of the season.
They're going to bang the season?
Yep.
Not just take a game off?
Yep, that's it. That's it.
So I just think you've overstated it because these guys, the NFL player, it's been determined over many, many labor battles that they can't give up game checks. So they give up the one. So it's November 3rd, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the next week you play Monday night at the Jets. You could bang that one.
Oh, sure.
I don't know if we'd miss that one.
So win.
Perhaps drastic end of the season. But that week, I'm telling you, that happens. That week you can forget about those games. I'm telling you, that's going to happen. You're going to get an NFL walkout if Trump wins.
Boy, Murray's a political fatalist.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Life.
Seriously.
Political. Life. Well, the world, man.
More so.
All of it.
Well, no, that's true. Yeah, no, you think everything leads to the end of the world. In this case, you might be right.
So that is going to be a pain in the ass because no one's going to know who won with all the mail-in ballots and all of that. It's going to be...
Oh, that's going to be an absolute
terrible,
poop storm.
Terrible, terrible week. I agree with you. Never mind Patriots-Jets. You're going to suck on top of it all. All right, so I think those are all the items. Those are all the items. I think our phones are fixed, I think.
I think so.
617-779-0985. We'll mix in your football stuff with our Celtic stuff. You can call on both right to you after these words.
Duggar Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The arrival of Cam Newton influenced me to put the Patriots all the way at number 4.
Whoa.
On the PFT preseason power rankings. Look, how many times do we have to see the movie to realize that it ends with the Patriots close to, if not at, the top of the mountain, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the upgrade from Cam Newton over Tom Brady, and we talked about this last week. You know, Tom Brady as of last year, it's an upgrade over Tom Brady as of last
year.
Yes. And if Cam Newton's healthy, he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And this may end up being the master stroke of Bill Belichick's career as a personnel evaluator.
So as we get ready for the season, that remains the high watermark in terms of the Patriots' prognostication. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, the fourth best team in the league, Newton better than Brady. Okay? But he's not the only one. So there's some low end. I mean, Jimmy, what do you got them at, 3-13?
3-13.
So that's probably the low end. So Florio's the high end, top five team. Jimmy's the low end. Murray, you're closer to Stu than Florio, right?
No, I'm with you. 9-7. I don't. It really has. It's more to do with the AFC East. I don't trust any of these other teams. They're idiot coaches and those terrible quarterbacks. So
who's to say that the AFC East champion isn't going to be 7-9?
Right. I think it could be one of those years.
Thank
oh
you. Boy,
I have you winning the division at 9-7. So that's my prediction.
I mean, Bill's aggravated the hell out of me with the way the whole the Brady thing devolved and how that all got handled. And I think he's drafted like ass for like 4 straight years. But he's still Bill Belichick. He's still the best head coach in the NFL. And if he's going to get anything out of this group, if anyone can get anything out of this group, it's going to be him. So, I don't know. I trust him, and I don't trust those other teams in this division. So 9-7 and win the division.
7-9, finish second.
Okay, so real quick, the scientists at 538, Mike Silver's site, and Lord knows Mike Silver is never wrong.
Except for the election.
Whoops.
Yes, Jimmy, you don't understand the sarcasm.
Sorry.
538.com.
We don't do humor here.
That's true. I shouldn't have done that. AFC East, their advanced analytic predictions. They have this massive formula that I'm not even going to begin to explain to you. Because I can't. Please. Their ELO formula. This massive analytic formula. Their AFC East prognostications based on their advanced stuff is this. Pats at 9-7, Bills at 8-8, Jets at 7-9, Miami at 6-10.
I mean, that's what the division feels like to me, is everybody clustered like that.
They say the Patriots are favorites to win the East for the 12th consecutive year, but it will not be easy. Replacing Tom Brady with Cam Newton is one thing. They say the Pats' new quarterback actually looks better according to our ratings anyway. But can New England's defense survive both the pull of regression and historic levels of personnel turnover, .. So they according to their advanced ratings, they have Newton ahead of Brady, too.
Yeah, again, I think that these models fail to factor in the human element.
Right. Nowhere in there do they put in motivation.
Correct.
Or, you know, just that. Someone's heart or balls or motivation. Those don't compute. Those don't go into the computer.
The other thing is, look at that whole model. I went through the whole league. Did you go through the whole league?
No, I couldn't.
Nobody's better than 10-6.
Oh, is that right?
Nobody's better than 10-6. So they got everybody clustered. And you're telling me there's no team in the league that's better than 10-6? That's asinine.
That's ridiculous. That's
Kansas City's going to win 12 games.
What happens when the nerds start prognosticating? But I just thought I'd give you that's what the computers say. Anyway, I promised your calls. Here they are. Mike and Medway on the Crowd Noise. What do you got, Mike?
Yeah, I agree with you guys that probably the NBA does the best with the fans on the TVs. But that's something they really have to be careful with. I don't know if Jay Stu's been keeping up to date with what's going on in the world of wrestling. But they have this thing with his fans in the background all the time. And they've had everything from people dressed up like KKK members to guys playing with themselves and everything in between. It's a bit of a mess on live TV. So.
Okay, so
as much as I like it, it's not something.
All right, so I missed the first part. You're saying the online fans?
So WWE created this virtual background.
Yeah, like they do in the NBA.
So you can sit in your house and watch the show and cheer, and they kind of pump that in as well. But yeah, there was a guy who dressed as a KK member.
And another,
there was a live sacrifice in the background.
Chris Benoit, who killed himself, who was a WWE wrestler. Yeah, they screwed that one up.
Shocker. It's so simple. I think the NBA hasn't quite dialed it in like they should. I do like the virtual fans. You do have to put them on a delay because...
Yeah, you can't
sure,
trust
you never
people.
Know what's going to be there people.
For this nonsense. So you, all you do is you delay it. You just sync up the delays. You know,
right.
I had this in my head before we started, and now I can't even recall it, but you let the fans react in real time, and you delay it all for us 20 seconds, and if someone does something offensive up in the... You know, up on the board, you just blot it out. Like, I mean, why is that so hard?
It's not.
So I think the NBA, I don't get how the NBA still lets those virtual fans lag the way they do. Just delay the whole thing.
Yeah, the other thing is, my guess is if you go through the correct process, they're season ticket holders, you identify them, they have to sign something, you subject them to prosecution, like there's all kinds of stuff. You could easily dissuade people from being jackasses.
Christian and Lemonster on Tom Brady. Yes, Christian.
Hey, how you doing? I was just thinking there's so many parallels between this Brady Buccaneers team and the Broncos when Peyton just got there. Peyton had all kinds of offensive weapons. He threw 55 touchdowns, and then they run into a legit defense that obviously exposed them. So I'm wondering what you guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it syncs up. I think Brady could have that kind of year. And ultimately, Tampa will lose because the coaching or the defense or something. They won't lose because Manning also crapped himself that game, as he tends to do.
They got the crap kicked out of him by Seattle that year.
No. I think you saw about the very first. Didn't the very first year they lose at home to Baltimore in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. Right. When Baltimore, right.
They completed this big, long Hail Mary. So it was like who was the safety there in Denver?
Raheem Moore?
Something like that. So I thought that was his first year.
It was.
He had a massive year. They were home. They think they were the number one seed, and they lost at home to Baltimore. On a big defensive lapse at the end.
Yes.
And it wasn't... So Manning didn't have a great game either, I don't think. I'd have to go back and look at it. I think he threw a couple interceptions in that game.
He threw a brutal pick in the overtime to lead to the game-winning field goal at, like... It was like midfield when he threw the pick. It was classic Manning in the playoffs.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So I can see the Buccaneers, that happening to them minus the Brady mistake. Like their defense or coaching does something to bollocks up a deep playoff run. But I think Brady's going to be balls this year.
Yeah, I could see a Brady mistake in that game. In the playoff game, but it's a good analogy. I felt the Manning to Denver thing was always the best analogy for Brady. Always.
Evan and Braintree on the future Patriots quarterback, we think. Go ahead.
Hey, quick yes, no question for you guys. Have you written off Jared Stidham?
I'm close. About to. Yes. I'm just about to.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm just about to.
I'm close.
That just the latest thing. He's now buying a house in Texas. The wife is running around telling everyone they're house hunting in Texas. Like, why don't you dial it in, dude, and get everyone on the same page and quit dinking around?
Seriously. I told you, once that whole thing happened with the injury, I went, this guy's not going to make it. This guy's not going to make it, whether it's his fault or not. I don't know how you can
I blame him. What do you mean? Who's to blame? I think they wanted him to be the guy, and he didn't seize it.
Yeah, well, so again.
He's too busy around selling lipstick on freaking line and traipsing around with his wife.
I'm just telling you, some people don't blame him. I put the injury on him, too.
I blame him.
Whether you blame him or not. He doesn't feel like the guy all of a sudden.
What some people? Is that Apple Watch going off?
No. Mm. Not at all. There are people who told us we were a-holes. I almost said the other thing. That we're a-holes for blaming him for getting hurt. And I would say, no, I do blame him for getting hurt.
Oh, I totally blame him for getting hurt.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely.
Stop dancing at the weddings. Get to work.
Don't 24 get years old.
Don't get hurt. Quarterback. Rookie. You know, I've got a new second-year guy. You're slappy. You're a young second-year, fourth-round pick. Don't get hurt. No one's touching you. No excuse. And, oh, by the way, if you claim to be hurt, when they go and look at the x-ray, there actually better be something there, because now you just look like you can't handle a little bit of pain or a little ding, which is 10 times worse. The whole thing is on him. And I'm this close to writing him off. I'm this close to saying another thing Bill believed in out of the draft that totally blew up in his face. I'm this close.
There's really only one thing that'll change my mind at this point, and that is if he gets into real games this year and plays well. Then it'll change my mind. Then all of a sudden it's like, okay. But honestly, I've reached a stage where I pretty much say, you got to go get a quarterback in the draft.
We're going to reset some of our Celtics thoughts right after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's reset some Celtics thoughts. Also have a developing Tom Brady nugget that we want to get to as well. But we're going to reset some of our Celtics, and we had a lot of them. We opened up the show with it, of course, off of last night's incredible game and the series and the team and the crossroads they appear to be at and all of this. So let's get to that now, and let's start it off with the email of the day.
It's the Mimecast email of the day!
Dear Felga, I really hate you, and I think Maz is a boob.
The Mimecast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 98.5thesportshub.com.
The email of the day is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast. That's M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Subject line, G. Willikers. This series, says Jay in Providence. Is this guy a former call screener?
I think so.
Yeah.
This guy, nemesis of yours on Twitter, you were mentioned this, right?
Yeah, he got all mad at me for saying they needed a loss. Now that they've had three of them, he's mad at me for it. Jay.
So I'm sorry.
Angry Jay.
I'm sorry I'm feeding the beast. But anyway, his Jay, Angry Jay, subject line, G. Willikers. This series has been an exhibition on out-coaching. I'm still waiting for the brilliant X's and O's of Stevens to come out. Nurse is an annoying douche, but he is proving to be a superior coach with less talent. If Stevens can't figure out the box and one, which is a high school zone defense, then Brad is a dope, not finding other ways to get Kemba Walker open. Stevens got exposed at the end of game three. Stevens can't see how Lowry is ripping apart Kemba Walker right now and can't figure out how to get smart on him. Year after year, I'm waiting for Brad Bott to actually coach well in the playoffs, and every year I get closer to Stevens being wildly overrated. The talent wins normally is absolutely true, that take. That talent normally wins the NBA, that's absolutely true. But when you, over the last few years, have gotten severely outcoached, when you have more talent, where's the problem? Seems like the coach is getting in the way. Time to wonder about the wonder kid, says Jay in Providence. How much of this is on Stevens?
Well, I think some of it is. Again, look, at the end of the day, I do think it's a player's league, so I'm going to be consistent on that one. But when you have two relatively, you know, close teams, can a coach's flaws get shown up? Sure. Here's my biggest complaint with Stevens is this idea that it has to be some sort of socialistic structure. Like, they all have to share. Like, it's got to be everybody. Not in the big moments, not in that league. And the big moments in that league become about the best players, the star players. I mean, I gave you that stat earlier today about Kawhi Leonard last night. Kawhi Leonard led the game in points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals. But not just his own team.
All players.
Every player in the game. Those five categories. He's only the second player in NBA history to do that in a playoff game. The other one, LeBron James. So I'm just telling you, at the really big moments, and last night put the Clippers up 3-1, so big swing game. So at those big moments, the league's about the players. And I think Stevens is still makes it too much about the coaching sometimes, and I think that's a problem.
How much is this on Stevens, Murray?
I mean, there's watching last night, it's like, can you find a way to free up Kemba Walker? Like, that kind of thing I put on him. And just from a mentality standpoint, like, I don't know, I think fans, by and large, overrate what coaches mean in the NBA. But I do still think that mentality comes from your head coach and keeping guys in check and not losing their cool. And I feel like the Celtics have done that, unfortunately, in this series. They've lost their cool. And look, that freak loss that they had in Game 3, it happens. Then they had a no-show in Game 4 last Saturday. That sucked. And it made me think, like, okay. And you hear people caterwauling and crying they're going to lose this series. They've lost it. Stevens is at fault. And I was like, okay, you people don't believe in this team. I don't know why, because they have more talent than Toronto, so everyone calm down. Proven right, looking at game 5. But then what happened last night, they should have won one of those overtimes. I felt confident. I really did. Even when I went into that first overtime, I'm like, all right, okay. Toronto giving them credit. Kyle Lowry plays his ass off. They're well coached. They'll be fine. Goes to double overtime, and they still lose it. The way the thing unraveled so quickly there at the end, too. Like, they've lost.
Second overtime, they're up 4 points with the ball, 3:40 left.
There's a tightness there. There's a and I'm sorry, I have to put that on the coach. Like, that comes from the head on down.
So, don't lose this series or the next one.
The narrative completely changes on him and Brown and Tatum. It does. If they lose this series, it rightfully changes, and they should all be ripped.
Or the next one. If you lose to a team less talented than you in the NBA, there's something wrong. It happens in other sports. So you can't say that, you know, in hockey, it happens all the time. A goalie gets hot. It happens in football. Every now and then, you know, a bad bounce, someone gets outworked. Baseball's become that way. A team just gets hot in the tournament, and all of a sudden there's lesser teams beating, you know. In the NBA, it almost never happens. In every other sport, you can sometimes explain it away. Someone gets hot, and it happens. Over a 7-game series in the NBA, if a lesser team beats a more talented team, there's something wrong with that more talented team. There's something wrong. Coaching, toughness, clutch, maturity, something. And you don't want that to be the story with the Celtics team. If they lose on Friday or lose the next series, a less talented team will have beaten them.
And they'll wear that for a while.
That is a horrible thing to be in the NBA. That's a horrible thing. It's the last thing you want to be. If you lose to a more talented team, that happens every year in every series. That's the way it's supposed to go in that league. If you're the more talented team and you're losing for some other reason, coaching maybe being one of them, that's bad, 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 bad.
See, I think the identity of the team in the NBA, Murray, comes from the best player.
Okay, so can they stop you?
I don't think it's the coach.
Then let me stop you. I got a lot of email, too, on Jason Tatum last night.
Okay, good. That's a good one.
So I could have read you about 6 or 7 emails of saying, Tatum's not the guy, Tatum's not the guy, Tatum's not the guy. Are those fair?
Sure. Yes, absolutely they're fair. Again, that league is, the whole thing is built around Tatum. The whole thing is about Tatum reaching that elite status. If Tatum's just a top 25 player in the league, if he's the next Gordon Hayward, what good does that do you? That doesn't do you anything.
Yeah, see, I'm not ready to go there yet just because of his age. That's premature. The kid's 22, so maybe okay. He's growing into that, and so, he's just not there yet.
But that could be the case. But I'm just telling you, that's what it is. It's more that than Stevens.
So you could say you can't close the book on him, but you can say not ready.
Correct.
Not ready.
Correct.
And I don't know, when will he be? What's going to be his off-season obsession? Making sure that the next time this doesn't happen, or making sure that his short game is in order.
And this is where I go to Stevens. Like, so are you there to kick him in the ass and to motivate him a little bit? I still think a lot of that falls on the head coach. It does, and this is where that email starts with G. Willikers. Like, that kind of attitude, it's nice, and I'm sure it keeps everyone calm, but at some point, I do think you need someone to kick some of these guys in the ass a little bit.
I mean,
there's a passive nature with this team that bothers me.
So I look at the end of that game last night, and you remember when a half a second left or whatever it was, Toronto called the timeout, Nurse called the timeout, and Kyle Lowry was just ready to inbound the ball and kill the clock?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Lowry started yelling at Nurse, like, what are you doing? What are you calling a timeout for? Let me just throw it inbounds, game's over. Lowry was right. And I'm telling you, I think the identity of the Raptors comes from Lowry. It doesn't come from Nurse. Nurse can dial up all the X and O bullcrap he wants. Lowry runs that team. Lowry runs it now that Kawhi Leonard's gone.
Here's the second email of the day brought to you by Mimecast. Just let me do it because it's right to this. It's another thing about a timeout. Chris writes in, hey, Felger, here's another terrible take, by the way. I'm usually pretty high when I send you these, so feel free to rip them apart. I put the loss on Tatum. I honestly don't think the man is locked in and focused, resulting in some pretty poor play. The moment of the game where I noticed it was at the end of the fourth when Smart brought the players to the floor together to motivate following a timeout. Everyone was focused on what Smart was saying, except for Tatum. He was standing there, not listening, bouncing up and down and looking around and grinning at someone on the bench. At that point, I said to myself, that Tatum is about to lose us the game. I sort of noticed this. I know what he's talking about. And I didn't say they're cooked after I saw that, but I think it's entirely fair, especially if they lose on Friday or the next round, to say that Tatum, as great as he is and should be, is not ready.
No, he needs to be. At the end of these games, the great players are assassins. They are assassins. They want the ball. They take the ball. They don't let the coach get in the way, and they win it. That's what they do. And again, I'm just, you know, I'm rattling off some of the great, but that's what Lowry did last night.
Now, yeah, granted, he was awesome in that game.
Lowry was, and he's not one of the great players in the history of the league. He might be a Hall of Famer because everybody in basketball gets in the Hall of Fame.
Got stones, though.
But he does. He has balls, and he's a good competitor. And I also think there's some, you know, there's some real fire there with him. I don't know if Tatum's there yet.
All right, so there's just one Celtic. There's a million things to get to from that game. All the good, all the bad, the way it was played, which I choose to say over officiated, because I think the officials in this league are powerless when the players play the way a lot of the Celtics and Raptors did last night. Just a flop fest. So we'll get to that and all of your thoughts on it in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Know Felger and Mass.
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Lowry falling away, got it! Kyle Lowry drills the jumper, and it's back to a four-point lead. What a spectacular performance from the leader of the Raptors. He's got 33, and the Celtics call their final timeout. He is absolutely exhausted.
Rolling the dice with your big-time talent. Look at the clear side. Basically, we're going to play one-on-one. Allow me to have this dance, Mr. Walker. Knock down, fadeaway jumper, swim. That's a bad boy. Hey, this is great defense. This is outstanding defense by Kemba Walker without fouling. But better offense by Kyle Lowry.
I mean, I do want to tip my cap to Kyle Lowry. I need a clutch, tough player. Another faking, flopping cheater that drags the game down and makes the game at times insufferable with the whistles and the fake fouls and the officiating. And Kyle Lowry helps make the game such. He and Marcus Smart. So I hate him for that. But as a competitor, oh, man, he's got a set. And he sure showed it last night. So
I mean, he can play for me any day of the week.
I do tip my cap to Kyle Lowry. I would like to see the Celtics figure out a way to get Marcus Smart on him in those situations, though. And I know they can switch or, you know, I know it's not as simple as saying that. And there was a switch apparently before that. And that turnaround shot was a turnaround with about 11 seconds left to make it a four-point lead. That was really the dagger shot, if you will. And there was a switch there. So, but I don't know. Figure it out, Brad. Figure it out. So
yeah.
Kemba Walker's not on the floor there or not guarding their biggest threat.
So again, I come back to the whole sort of mechanics of the whole game. Now, it's important to recognize in the final minute and 20 of regulation, the Celtics got three chances there. Okay, two for Walker, one for Tatum. Walker missed two shots. Tatum threw the ball to Nick Nurse. Just still like, you got to be kidding me.
At least he owned it, though.
Like, talk about a turnover. Wow, pass it to the other team's coach. Now that's giving the ball away. Like that. So they had the right guy with the ball at those moments. But how does Jaylen Brown get 30 shots? 30 shots. He goes 11 for 30.
Well, that's the egalitarian nature of Brad Stevens and his approach, which is the open guy gets the shot. So they were boxing one on Kemba Walker. That's why he distributed the ball, and so others shot, and Brown was the guy.
So now people think I'm blaming Jaylen Brown for this. I'm not. I'm blaming Brad Stevens for this. Find a way to get the ball into the hands of Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum more frequently. That's what Toronto did. They had the ball in Lowry's hands all night. All night, Lowry had the ball. And now look, because again, when Jaylen Brown takes 30, that's fine if he makes 18 of them. He made 11. 11. Nobody should be taking 30 shots outside of Michael Jordan when they make 11.
Okay, so that remains Maz's biggest second guess. What's yours, and what are your thoughts on the Celts here heading to a crucial sort of defining Game 7? Here's Dean in Shrewsbury. Go ahead.
Epic choke job is this is going to be if they lose. I agree with you completely, Felger. This is a team that should be going to the finals. Talent usually wins out. And you have a 35-year-old Lowry just torching us the whole game. He played like 50 minutes or something, and you can't get your energy up.
Well, you can't close. Sorry, Dean, I'm going to cut you off. You can't close.
I mean, that's what it's about.
I mean, you're half second away from going 3-0 and winning the series, and you can't close. Then last night, you lead by 12 in the second quarter, give it away. You lead at halftime, give it away. You lead in both overtimes, including in the second overtime, up four with the ball with under 4 minutes left, and you can't close. And it's like, ooh, that's starting to add up. And if you can't close them out, you're going to look at this team and say something's wrong with it, and it's not talent. If you lose to the Clippers, I'll say talent. Okay, Clippers have more talent, or even the Lakers. You could claim those two teams have more talent. If you're drafting those series, the Lakers and Clippers might have the first two players off the board, right? I mean, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, wouldn't you take George and Kawhi over any Celtics?
Yes, yes,
you take
LeBron? Absolutely.
Okay, so if you lose to a team like that, it's like, well, that's the way it's supposed to go in the NBA.
Yeah, but it also matters how it looks, because I would put this, if they lose Friday night, for me, it's two straight embarrassing and unacceptable ways that they've gone out of the playoffs. Because the way that they lost to Milwaukee last year, even though they're more talented and have Giannis, you win that first game, then it's a gentleman's sweep, and they basically quit. Like, that's unacceptable.
I mean, even the owners said they cratered last year.
Don't lose on Friday, and don't lose the next round either. Don't do that. Bruce in Weathersford. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, Maz, where was the Time Lord? Toronto's boxing one weakness is alley-oops and back doors, especially when small. Plus fresh legs. Give them 10 minutes. Thanks.
Bruce, you think their alley-oop game wasn't on point last night?
I mean, Tice was getting plenty of alley-oops.
How many points? Tice had 18 points. There was probably 14 of them on dunks, on alley-oops.
He was 9 of 11 from the floor.
They were all dunks.
Yeah.
I mean, and in the overtime, that was their best play.
And so, one of his misses was a three.
So, I mean, like, I sort of give him credit for that. The Toronto went small. No Gasol. No Siakam. So Tice is in there, and he's dunking on people. Like, that's a part of the game that went right.
Yeah, these people talk about it like Time Lord's the only one who can jump, for crying out loud. Tice, it was perfectly fine. I'd rather have Tice in the game at the end than Time Lord. Please, that wasn't the issue. It wasn't Time Lord. The box in one thing, just you can't get the ball into someone else's hands in the box in one. As one of those emails said, a high school defense is crippling the Celtics.
Oh, and Nurse is so proud of it, too. So proud. This is true. Reporting The Athletic. On his own personal website, in which he sells merch, I'm talking about Nick Nurse now, this Hardo tool bag of a coach. He has his own personal brand. He sells a sweatshirt with the Box in One logo on it. He's so proud of the high school freaking defense that he runs.
Oh, he's a tool. There's no two ways about it. Billy, I mean, he's a power tool.
Billy is Snap-on power tool. Billy in the car. Go, Billy.
Yeah, I can't get over this team's lack of ability to close. It is so frustrating. That game was so incredibly frustrating last night. I mean, like, it is coaching, I think. Like, I think, like, we do need to take a look at the coach. But, like, even just the fact that we're in a game seven, like, the Raptors have had so many open threes. It's been so frustrating to watch this, like, heralded defense of a team just giving up open shots. And I don't understand why Kemba was on Lowry in the first place last night. Like, you have to figure something out. Call a timeout before that play as you see it unfold. I mean, I just, like, there are so many things about this
defense. You can't call timeout on defense. So, I mean, but it's just, it happened too often. Where Lowry was on Walker. And so you've got to figure it out. You've got to the Celtics are going to lose that matchup. I mean,
oh, totally.
And Lowry might beat Smart the way Lowry goes. I mean,
yeah, but I'll take my chances.
Of course you will.
I mean, he's all defensive player, for crying out loud. He's all defensive. He's got bigger size. Like, there's more strength, all of it.
So, by the way, I don't blame Stevens for the end of regulation. Kemba Walker at 120 left got a good look in the lane, got a clean look. From, you said 12 feet. I thought it was like 8 feet.
I was just saying, no, he was inside the free throw line.
Right. So, like, that's 10 feet, right?
Oh, yeah. The free throw line's 15.
Oh, why am I so stupid?
But he might have been 5 feet inside. Like,
no,
it was
no, 12 feet's right. So he was just inside the free throw line. It was a good look. And he missed. Next position. Again, I'm going to blame Stevens for the fact that Jason Tatum thought Nick Nurse was a shooting guard. Like, No.
That's horrible pass.
That's on Jason Tatum. He panicked.
100% on Tatum. 100%.
And then the final possession, Stevens did the right thing by not calling a timeout, not letting Toronto set their defense, because Kemba Walker got into the lane, got to the cup, and missed a shot he could have made and then probably should have drawn the foul. And they didn't blow the whistle with 2.2 seconds left. I thought that was a bad break for the Celtics. I'm not bitching about the refs. I think you got what you deserved last night. But that call usually goes your way, meaning the shooter's going to get that. When he gets hit like that, going to the rim, he's usually going to get that call. And he did not. That was a bad break. I don't blame Stevens for any of those.
No, not the, again, the possessions at the end of regulation, they had the ball in the right people's hands.
Jaylen Brown wasn't shooting there.
No.
Marcus Smart wasn't shooting there.
Correct. No, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with what they did. But someone's got to close it. Someone's got to close it. And look, on the Walker thing, I don't, you know, and I'm talking about the drive, the last possession, I just don't think you're getting the call there. So you got to absorb the contact and make the hoop or go to someone else.
More your thoughts on Celtics last night, Celtics on Friday, Celtics in general. Also, some breaking reporting today on where Tom Brady could have gone as a free agent instead of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is interesting. We have the reporting for you, plus Jimmy's phone is checked in. So we have some details to add. It's all going to come your way after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.